grasps it. And also that we would be obedient to this vision. We expect your blessing and your speaking this morning. Lord, do bless the church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm sorry, I have a little cold still. This morning we want to begin with Ezekiel. Here we have the German text printed, the English also, at the back of the outline. I believe through this reworking a little bit, it'll be easier for us to understand, because the other translations in German are rather difficult to understand and to be able to grasp the meaning of it, especially for the younger brothers and sisters. So let us turn to page 8 in the English outline. I don't know if they have it in the other languages, but yes, we do have it in English. Yes, we do have it in the English outline on page 8. Let's read this text together. We only worked on chapters 1 and 10 a little bit. Let's read verses 1 through 4 together. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kiba, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of the king Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar. And the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a blazing fire engulfing itself. The brightness was all around it, and out of its midst it gleamed as it were electrum out of the midst of the fire. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll speak briefly about the background here. At that time, Ezekiel was in Babylon. He was taken away to Babylon in captivity. Surely it was a very sad situation for him. So we should not think that there is no Babylon anymore today. In the book of Revelation, in chapters 17 and 18, we see that surely there is a Babylon today. A spiritual Babylon, where many saints have been captured away and brought into captivity. We do not say this with a spirit of criticism, but with some moaning and groaning, because so many believers are scattered everywhere. In different groups and in different denominations. There's Catholicism, and there's the state church. There are many denominations, the different directions. There are even many free groups, home meetings spread in different places. It is definitely not a good situation. It is not what God wants. And at that time, at the time of Ezekiel, it was the same.
Weil das Volk Gottes ein hartnäckiges Volk.
Because the people of God was a very stubborn people, stiff-necked.
Und ungehorsam.
And they were disobedient and rebellious.
Und haben sich so viele Dinge getan, was wirklich eine Beleidigung war.
And they did many things that were an offense to God. They sinned against God. And above all, they had idolatry. It was a bad nation. In their idolatry, they were more idolatrous than all the other nations. It was so terrible. You have to read Ezekiel slowly to realize this. God was really angry with them.
You have to
think that our God is a very patient God. He had already forbore a lot of things for a long time. He kept sending his prophets and warned his people. But his people not only did not hear him, but they continued to do those things. In the end, God had no other possibility mere, because they did not give God any other possibility other than the judgment. And here we read that the people of God, especially in three different periods of time, they were led away into captivity into Babylon. And the third time around, it was really terrible, very bad. Many were killed. Many were slaughtered. And the city was burnt and the temple was destroyed. It was very terrible.
And
the second time around, Ezekiel was also led away into captivity. At that time, the people were not convinced yet. They thought that they would only remain for a brief while in Babylon, and then God would save them again and bring them back to Jerusalem. The prophets even prophesied lies. At that time, they said, "Oh, it doesn't matter. God will bring you back to Jerusalem in a short time." That's why God called Ezekiel. Surely, Ezekiel was one who was very saddened over the whole situation. Whoever loved God at that time and who saw the entire situation there, do you think Ezekiel would have been happy at that time? He says, "Thank God so many that I did not die, but I am here, existing here in Babylon." Would you think in such a way? If you were only for your own life, you're living for your own life, then perhaps you would think in this way, "Oh, I'm happy that by the grace of God I had not died. And now I'm still alive here in Babylon." And life is not necessarily bad then. And we know that they were in Babylon for a period, a total of 70 years. At the very end, they got used to it there, and they built houses, and they fit themselves in a certain way. After 70 years of captivity through King Cyrus, many did not want to return to Jerusalem. They would rather stay in Babylon. But here, in the middle of this was Ezekiel. I don't believe Ezekiel was like that. Here, it says in the 30th year, in verse 1, in the fifth day of the fourth month, it's very possible Because many have said this, that it's possible that Ezekiel just happened to be 30 years old at this time. Very scriptural that from the time that one is 30 years of age, they began to serve the Lord as priests. How many of you are 30 years old here? Praise the Lord. I'm happy to see that there are many young people here. I don't mean that we do not appreciate the older brothers and sisters. We do. But for the work of the Lord, surely the Lord needs young people. The Lord uses young people. To that I can testify. So, at that time, Ezekiel was a young man who had such a burden for Jerusalem. He was there for God's purpose. At that time, all those who loved the Lord, all those who loved Jehovah, they also loved Jerusalem. And they loved the temple of the Lord, because the temple of the Lord was something wonderful for them. Jerusalem was so much in their heart, the temple of the living God. The psalmist also even said, I would live there lifelong. So as young people who sit here today, what is the most precious thing in your heart? Your occupation?
Matthias?
Are you sure? Perhaps your family? Your house? You're building a house? The Schwabian like to build houses here. If we say yes, then we also have to see how does it look practically. Right? I don't mean to say that we are not allowed to build houses. No, no. Look, we also have a nice, beautiful hall here, but it's just a hall. But deep in our hearts, we must have the church, the house of the living God. We should treasure this more than everything else, more than your occupation, more than your own family. The Lord said, He who loves my father and mother and daughter and children more than he loves me is not worthy of me. Of course, he doesn't mean to say that you should not love your parents anymore. But he said, if you love them more than you love me. Now today, the question is not whether we love the church or not, but the question is whether you love the house of God, the church, more than anything else. That is the question today. Just as we heard last night, if the Lord wants to build his glorious church with us, then the love for the church is very important. But the danger is that with time, many other things become more important for us. Although we still love the church, but actually in our behavior, in our daily life, the church is no longer in the first place. The Lord and the church must have priority in your life. I do remember, Matthias, before you were married, Matthias, you were very burning, hallelujah, for Christ and the church. Amen. right? Do you still remember that? Yes, certainly. Do you remember it even clearer than I do? But then with time, as you finish your studies, you have your occupation, and you have a family, etc. Yes, we're still for the church, but not as crazy as before. No longer as so burning. But at that time, Ezekiel was not like that. He was there by the river Kiba. Certainly, he thought about it very much. The entire situation today, look all around us. There's so many groups. There's so many believers. They're all scattered in different groups. Do you think that the situation is okay, Jonah? But this morning, the question is also the whether you're saddened or you're weeping for this situation. When you think of Christians, when you think of the saints, of our brothers and sisters who are scattered everywhere, in all, they're led away in all different kinds of directions. There's so many distractions. And there are false concepts. And they're caught in the system. And they did not know the way of the Lord so clearly. They do not know their spirit. And they have very little experience. The living God. They're scattered, dispersed everywhere, and divided in Babylon. What do you think in your heart? Oh, tough luck. It's because they like to stay there, then they should also stay there. Is that how you think? Oh, but praise the Lord, we enjoy it here in the church. We're just for ourselves. We have good meetings, we have a good message, praise the Lord, we understand this, we see that, and in your heart you don't think about the other brothers and sisters in the Lord. They're the people of the Lord, God's people. Is that our attitude? I believe not, right, Marcus? I know Marcus has such a heart for Freiburg. He is absent in body, but he's present there in spirit. He is here studying here in Stuttgart, but his spirit is with you there in Freiburg. He thinks of the saints over there, right? It is good. And here Ezekiel is in such a situation. I hope that we all also have such a heart for the work of the Lord. And if we have such a heart for God's people, we do not just think of ourselves, but we also think of God's purpose. Lord, what about Jerusalem? Did you give up your purpose? Why do you let the enemy destroy Jerusalem? And you allow your temple to be burnt by your enemy, etc. And now we lost our country. We're now here in Babylon. Surely he was very discouraged. He was very discouraged. But praise the Lord, something happened. Verse Amen. The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. And then Ezekiel said, "Then I looked, and what did he see? A whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a blazing fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it." What a vision! It's very wonderful to see it. We all have to see this. And out of its midst, it gleamed as it were electrum. We have a footnote here from the Septuagint. The translation is that electrum is gold mixed with silver. It's a natural existing alloy of gold and silver. That was the expression of this glow that came out of the midst of the fire. First of all, he saw this. Do you know such a wonderful God? In our outline here, we wrote, O Lord.
Es ist so ungeschickt.
It's a little clumsy if we want to go back to the outline and then we have to switch over to page 8. Let's go a little slower this morning. O Lord Jesus, amen. First of all, in verse 1, the heavens opened, and I saw visions of God, and the heavens opened. In our outline here, we have written down many verses to show how often the heavens opened. How often the heavens opened. He says the heavens were opened. It's in the plural form, the heavens. It goes to show that here it's God who initiated the vision. It's God who initiated the opening of the heavens. The opening of the heavens does not depend on us, but it depends on God. And it depends very much on your person. Why did the heavens not open to other people except here? The heavens were open to Ezekiel, and it was described so clearly. Now, the heavens were opened to Ezekiel here. God wanted to show him something here. You can read all these verses by yourself. You do remember that about Stephen, when he was stoned, when he was martyred, he gave such a testimony, and at the very end, he also saw the heavens opened. And he saw the Son of Man there. It's wonderful to see such a vision. It's not only a vision, but that he saw the Lord himself. Several times it's written in the scriptures. And today we also have to tell the Lord, Lord, give us an open heaven. We want to see visions. And we want to see that which is heavenly. Paul also spoke about the heavenly vision. He also saw it. Here in the church, the Lord has to open up the heavens to us. We need an open heaven. Especially today, Lord, open the heavens to us. Learn to say this to the Lord. Of course, the Lord will not open the heavens just because you said it. We also need to have the prerequisites. What is in our heart, if we are only for the church in a half-hearted way and we pray, oh Lord, give us an open heaven, the heavens would not be open to you, or would not just be open to you like that. But if our hearts are really one with God, we're burning for His church. It's not only that we have seen that the church is right, but that our church would burn for her. We have realized that this is what God wants to do. And this is the most precious thing in the entire universe. And you gave yourself and your time for her, to the Lord. Otherwise, you're for the church, yet you're so busy. In the end, you have more time for your work than for the Lord. But there, Ezekiel was fully for God's purpose. He was a priest of the Lord. Certainly, he spoke and dealt with the Lord very much. Lord, why is it so? Why? Surely you're the God of mercy. Why did you allow this to happen? And that's why God brought him back to Jerusalem through a time machine. He brought him back. And he led him through the temple and showed him. God had to convince him what the elders did there, what the princes did there, what the priests did, and what the entire people there, how they were all worshiping idols, how their sons and daughters, how they offered their sons and daughters to the demons even. I believe after Ezekiel saw all that, he had to bow down and to say to God, Amen, you're the righteous one. Many things that we, the believers, have done, you don't know and I don't know. We do not know a lot of things. People only see the outward, but God searches the hearts. So God has to open the heavens so that we can see the heavenly vision. If the Lord does not open the heavens to us, you will see nothing. You may read the Bible, you may pray, you may have fellowship, you may read many books, you may know everything. There are so many books outside. You may buy books and read them and even learn the books by heart. And yet you know nothing because the heavens are closed to you. Do not think that when we read the Bible, then we see everything. Even if we have understood everything, it still cannot replace an open heaven to you. There were many people in Babylon. The heavens were not opened to those people. But God opened the heavens to Ezekiel. Praise the Lord. That means the visions are initiated by God. I oftentimes I asked the Lord, why don't you show your people this wonderful vision? Why do you show it to us and the others don't see it? There are so many people, right? Haven't you spoken with many people? Have they seen it? Not so many. At that time in Karlsruhe, you also spoke a lot, right? But the people do not want to see it. And they do not see it and they don't understand. What? You are the church? You alone are right? They see nothing. You may explain so much, yet they do not see anything. Why? Because the heavens were closed to them. They do not want to see. They're not interested in it. But we need an open heaven. Oh Lord, you also should tell the Lord, although we are not worthy, but Lord, for the sake of your church, Lord, open the heavens to us. In a certain way, none of us are worthy. But if our hearts would burn for God's purpose, even though we're so imperfect, the Lord will show us something. Praise the Lord. And then it says, the word of the Lord came expressly to him. It came to him. It is so specific. The word of the Lord came. It's living. Here in Ezekiel, we wrote that it's written 50 times that the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came to him. We always say, read the word daily. You come to the word daily. But how often does the word come to you? We often tell the saints, oh, go to the word, read the word. Come, let us come to the word. Yes, oftentimes we come to the word, but how often does the word come to you? And when does the word come to you? When you're watching TV, then suddenly the word came to you. When you're playing computer games, then the word came to you. Do you think it would happen in this way? No, certainly not. What do you think? What was Ezekiel doing at the river Kiba? Was he swimming there? While he was swimming, the word of the Lord came to him? Do you think so? No? I don't think so. No, he was not swimming there. He was considering there. He prayed and he said, why? Why, Lord? What do you want to do now? What should we do? We're in such a hole here. And the word of the Lord came to him. Just as what we've read here. The word of the Lord came expressly to him. That means in all clarity. It's not blurry. It's not unclear. Toby thinks of everything. Gave him a copy of the text, an extra copy. Oh, Lord. Expressly. How often do you tell the Lord, Lord, speak clearly to me? Oftentimes I tell the Lord, Lord, please don't speak to me in Greek or in Hebrew, or jokingly. Speak Chinese to me. English. German is okay too. But please speak to me in such a way so that I can understand you. And don't speak to me in an angelic language. I cannot understand that. Have you told this to the Lord? No? You see? And that is why the Lord will speak to you in angelic language. And then you will tell the Lord, Lord, I don't understand it. You're speaking Greek to me. I did not understand it. I do not want the Lord to speak to me in Cantonese or in a strange dialect that, or in the Swabian dialect. Then I would tell the Lord, no, Lord, speak to me clearly and expressly so that I can also understand. I want to understand him. Or don't you? What's the use for us to read the Bible and everything is closed to us and we don't understand anything? A young brother told me, I read the book of Ezekiel and understood no word of it. I told him, I said, that's okay. Perhaps the Lord would open the heavens to us at this conference. Then we would see something. Then the Lord has to speak clearly to you. As a young man, you have to ask this of the Lord. You have to tell the Lord, Lord, you speak so unclearly. Who then can understand you? Actually, he did not speak unclearly. It's that we do not have an ear to hear. That's our problem. Then you have to tell the Lord, Lord, open my ears. Give me revelation. Open my eyes. Let me hear you and understand you, grasp you. Show me the heavenly vision. Right? Paul did say, who knows what's hidden in God apart from the Spirit of God? And then he went on to say, we have received the Spirit of God. Otherwise, we would make so many concepts, or have so many concepts about the Word of God. Yes, it's good to read the Word, but you should also tell the Lord, Lord, let your Word come to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. I don't want to consider so much and break my head in order to understand your word. That's nonsense. You don't need to do that. Let the word of the Lord come to you. It's much simpler. 50 times it is written in the book of Ezekiel. 50 times. 50 times. In Ezekiel, there are only 48 chapters. But it's written 50 times, and the word of the Lord came to him. How often does the word of the Lord come to you? Ask yourself. Not only so, but here it is written, saying the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord also came to him. And took him. Every time when Ezekiel wanted to do something, he only did it with the Spirit. The word without the Spirit does not work. The word always have to be accompanied by his Spirit. Whenever God wanted to do something with Ezekiel or he wanted to show something to Ezekiel, the Spirit was there. The Spirit of the Lord came and took him. Sometimes it was written that the Spirit of the Lord took him by the hair and took him along. Isn't that good?
Weil wir oft so langsam sind.
Because oftentimes we're so late. Oh Lord, wait till I have combed my hair. The Lord did not wait. He grabbed him by his hair and took him along. That means that the Spirit of the Lord does not wait for you. You say, oh Lord, please wait, I still have to do something here. And wait, Lord, I still have to do this and take care of this. And by that time, the Spirit is gone. But if we are fully for the Lord in our hearts and we're ready and willing to go with the Lord all the time, to exercise in our spirit, to walk with the Lord, then when the Lord wants to do something, the Spirit would come and take you along. Praise the Lord. 50 times, remember that. For such a vision, we need the Spirit of the Lord. Later we'll see, once again, without the Spirit, it doesn't work. You cannot go accomplish God's work by yourself. That does not work. The Word alone also is not sufficient. But this Word always has to be accompanied by His Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord. Many times, praise the Lord. We wrote this many times, and we printed this out here. Please read it. It's not only the Spirit of the Lord, and seven times in Ezekiel, which is also important, that this hand of the Lord came to me. Praise the Lord. We also need the hand of the Lord. And the hand of the Lord shows His power, His strength. We need the Word. We need the Spirit. And we need His hand. The right hand of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? How can we accomplish God's work without His hand? Do you think that with your own hand you're capable to accomplish God's work? We people are not that capable, and neither are we so mighty and strong to accomplish God's work. Certainly, earthly work, you can do your own work with your own hands. But for the heavenly work, you need the hand of the Lord. You cannot do God's work with your own hands. Believe me, brothers and sisters. So this is the prerequisite in the book of Ezekiel in order to see this wonderful vision. This vision is initiated by God, and the Word of the Lord came to him 50 times, praise the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord is written there 10 times. Every time when the Lord wanted to lead him somewhere, it was through the Spirit. It's just like John in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, John saw much. At least, John saw four main visions, and each time he was in spirit, and the Spirit led him away to show him something. In chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord took him and showed him the throne of God. And then in chapter 17, about Babylon, and also in chapter 21, in order to see the New Jerusalem, the Spirit of the Lord took him to a high mountain. We need the Spirit of the Lord so much. Without the Spirit, it doesn't work. Brothers and sisters, I know we have emphasized the Spirit for many, many years, but still I do not have the assurance that many of us have truly learned how to do all things by the Spirit. It needs exercise, it needs practice. If we do not practice in a goal-oriented way to walk by the Spirit, to react right away, quickly, to be obedient. Although we know the Spirit and occasionally we are in spirit, but most of the time, perhaps not. And then we need the hand of the Lord. Praise the Lord. To do the work, God's work has to be through His hand and with the hand of the Lord. It's much simpler. It's not only much simpler, but it is not tiring at all. But if you want to do the work of the Lord with your own hands, you have to work very hard. You have to experience this tiresome work. And in the end, the work is still not satisfactory and it's not so good. And then the fifth point here, we see that through all this, Ezekiel was strengthened. The name Ezekiel means, we have a brother here whose name is Ezekiel, right? Ezekiel. Did you know that your name means that God strengthens you? Amen. How often has He strengthened you? In order for him to be useful to the Lord, he had to be strengthened. If we are in our natural being, we're weak. For many other things, you're strong. In criticism, in particular, we're very strong. And for many other things, we're also strong. But for the positive work of the Lord, for that which God wants to fulfill, we are powerless. We can do nothing. What did the Lord say to the apostles? What did He say to those disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane?
Mount of Olives.
Or on the Mount of Olives. The Lord said, wait and pray. But what did they do? They slept. They fell asleep. They slept. And what did the Lord say when He returned? The Spirit is willing. But the flesh is weak. Is your flesh weak? Oh, if you're angry, if somebody offends you, is your flesh weak? Then is your flesh very strong. But when the Lord says, watch and pray and fast, you have to fast and pray, then suddenly your flesh becomes very weak. You say, oh, I'm going to fall over. I've got to eat something quickly. And we cannot even pray for half an hour without eating, and we already fall asleep. In our natural being, we're not so capable and we're not so strong to read the word of the Lord and to grasp it and also to fulfill His word. But we need the strengthening, and the strengthening comes when the Lord speaks to us, when the word comes, when the Spirit comes, and the hand of the Lord would come upon us. Praise the Lord. It's very wonderful and beautiful. Now we come to the point
der Ezekiel gesehen hat.
Which is actually what Ezekiel saw.
Und ich schaute,
then I looked,
und siehe,
and behold, praise the Lord. I looked, and behold.
Wunderbar.
Wonderful.
Willst du mehr sehen?
Do you want to
das
see? That is the question.
Hast du Freude mehr zu sehen?
Do you have the joy to see more?
Amen.
Amen.
Dann wieso, jeden Tag geht vorbei und du siehst nichts?
Then why does the day, why do the days go by and yet you see nothing and you don't care? It doesn't matter to you. When you read the Bible, you see nothing. You close your Bible and you go your way, do your things. And the next day you read the Bible and you also see not much. You close the Bible and you go live your life. It doesn't matter to you whether you see or not. Or, why do you read the Word? Just to eat? You just want to eat the Word. I want to eat the Word. I looked, amen, and behold, amen, and you walk away and you didn't see anything. And now here in the meeting we all say, yes, we want to see something. No, this attitude is not good. We, all of us in the church, should have such a longing. Tell the Lord, Lord, I truly want to see something. I want to see more of your, I want to see your way. Oftentimes, I pray to the Lord, Lord, I want to see the way of the church even clearer. I do not think that I have seen so much. I have to confess to the Lord. I still have so much that I have not seen yet. Please, if we all have seen so much, then we will not be in such a condition today. Look at the condition of the church where you're at. Is it glorious? And we have so many excuses. And we say, oh, the ground is too hard. Oh, the people are not open. Oh, it's so difficult. Oh, the young people today. Oh, the world is so strong. And we give so many excuses. And that's why nothing happens with us. That's how it is. Why don't you ask the Lord? Is our Lord so weak? Do you think that the world is stronger than God? Sister? It's so difficult to gain people. Why? Why? Oh, people are not open. Okay, then open them. Try to open their hearts. Why not? The Lord did tell Paul, I want to send you to the nations to open their eyes. Please, let's go do that. Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, teach me to open the nations? Or do you complain, oh, Lord, they're not open? Then the Lord says, oh, to go open their eyes. Then you say, Lord, how? How am I supposed to do that? It cannot be so difficult when the Lord does it. We need a turn in all the churches. Tell the Lord daily and don't think, oh, I'm new in the church. I won't see anything. Oh, it's so difficult to understand. No, no. Brother, you have the advantage because you don't know so much. If one knows too much, it's a disadvantage. Then one would think, oh, I already know it. I know everything. If one does not know anything, then one has a desire in you. Lord, show to me. Show me more. Yes. There's much more that we have not yet seen. There's much more that we do not know. Much more that we need to grasp and experience. We have to tell the Lord, Lord, show me. God is so great. Why cannot we overcome the wee little problems? You cannot overcome the problems in the church. You can't even overcome your own personal problems. How great is your God? We believe that God is almighty, and actually you do not believe it. If you were to believe, then it already would be so glorious. Right, in all the churches, in Zurich, oh, is it so difficult to go on? We have to tell the Lord, why are we still 70 or 80? Why are we not 800? You have to ask the Lord, how can we have 800 people? Lord, can you do it? What did he see? Let's see. A whirlwind. Praise the Lord. A whirlwind. How does your God look like? Do you know God? Do you know a God that looks like a whirlwind? In the Bible, there are several whirlwinds. Of course, it is actually a description of the movement of our Lord. Sometimes it talks that the enemy comes like a whirlwind. Of course, that would be terrible. But actually, when the Bible describes the movement of our God, then it describes our God like a whirlwind, like a hurricane. Have you ever experienced a hurricane? Not yet? That's too bad. Or an earthquake? Not that either. Then you have to move to Asia. Neither a tsunami. But we all have seen it. Our God, in his movement, he's so mighty. He's like a hurricane that no one can stop, just like a tornado. But a tornado is smaller than a hurricane. A whirlwind is much wider. 6-7 years ago, in Louisiana, in New Orleans, there was an hurricane there. And it just flattened almost the entire city. Is your God like that? That's so strong and so mighty. Who could stop this hurricane at that time? The entire government in the U.S., the army went there. Could they go against a hurricane and stop it? How is it? Who is capable to do that? Who is a geologist here? Who could stop such a hurricane? And when Ezekiel was thinking that, oh, the enemy is so strong, oh, look, we have all been led into captivity in Babylon. What should we do? Then suddenly he saw a hurricane. And this hurricane was the living God. He came like a hurricane, so mighty. How was it on the day of Pentecost? Let's read Acts chapter 2. The Lord said to the disciples, wait, where? They should wait in Jerusalem. What were they waiting for? So that they would be clothed with power from above. With power from above.
Wer hat ihnen gesagt, mach gar nichts,
and
tue gar nichts,
told them, do not do anything, go and wait in Jerusalem.
Bis ihr die Verheißung Gottes empfinget.
Says, until you receive the promise of God, that they would be clothed with power from on high. So in chapter 2 of Acts, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound, there came a dove from heaven, a dove,
eine kleine Stimme,
a small voice,
a breeze, wie sagt man?
A breeze,
eine Brise, so angenehm,
a pleasant breeze came down from heaven,
und da fühlten sich alle so gut,
and they all felt so nice and cool, just like an air conditioning.
So kam der Geist.
Did the Spirit come in such a way?
And
suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. A rushing mighty wind, like a typhoon. Like a hurricane. Like a mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire. And one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. None of them were quiet. They all began to speak and to testify with power from on high. Where did this power go? We say we have much life. The Lord is our life. He lives in us. But we're powerless. With so many problems, we cannot go on, we cannot overcome. Right? And how was it with Paul? We mentioned yesterday on the way to Damascus, what appeared to him? A flashlight? When Paul was on the way to Damascus, did a flashlight appear to him? Oh, Lord Jesus. A great light. And to the extent that this light even blinded him, so as he opened his eyes, he could no longer see anything. And he was shocked. A person like Paul, probably he was fearless. But when he saw this apparition, he was shocked and he fell to the ground as dead. That was the apparition, the appearing of the glory of the Lord, the heavenly vision. That changed him right on the spot. A heavenly vision. John also saw. Daniel also saw. We just went through Daniel some time ago. He saw a wonderful vision, almost similar to what Ezekiel saw. And Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah also saw this heavenly vision. We need this, brothers and sisters. Do not say that it's no longer possible today. Don't say that it does not apply to us today. Do you believe that it doesn't apply today? So what applies to you today? Hans-Jürgen, if this vision is in Ezekiel, that is not for today, then what applies to us today? John saw almost the same vision of the throne. What do you think, Jonah? Nothing happens today. Nothing happens anymore. It has to happen. It depends on what you want. And we have to see, brothers and sisters, and this, my burden today is that you have to see the greatness of the Lord. You have to see His might. You have to see the Almighty God. For Him, there's nothing impossible. It's all things are possible with our God. What do you think? Is the enemy more mightier than our God? Is the powers of darkness, your flesh, yourself, the problem mightier than God? Which problem is greater and mightier than God? Amen. How about Vancouver? Praise the Lord. We have to experience great things. Praise the Lord. We should not think that our God cannot do it. Oh, He can do much. And when He works, then everything would be flattened. Oh, Lord Jesus, the whirlwind. We need this in all the churches today. The whirlwind in Europe. Once again, we have to experience this whirlwind. Many years ago, when we came to Germany, there was a small whirlwind. Unfortunately, it did not get enlarged. But the whirlwind has to be greater today. Greater than in those days. Get. Amen. Hallelujah. Also in Switzerland, why not? And also in Romania, in Poland. You have to tell God, arise, come, speak, prophesy, let a whirlwind come again. In Pforzheim, in Karlsruhe, in Basel. Praise the Lord. It's just beginning. It's just a small whirlwind. There's no storm yet. But there has to be a whirlwind. Our God is not a small God, but He's the mighty God. We limit Him through our unbelief. Oh Lord, also in Spain, also in Italy, also in France. We have to tell the Lord, Lord, where's the whirlwind? Or do you not whirl anymore? The Lord is now taking a walk. No, a whirlwind came out of the north. There, where God is. Amen. I believe if God would find many Ezekiels today, if there is an Ezekiel, yes, in Spain, in Torremolinos, amen, then the whirlwind would come. Actually, it's not a joke. It's really necessary for us today. Otherwise, nothing happens. We may say we are the church, but nothing is whirling. Nothing is moving. Even when it moves, it only moves like by millimeter. Can you imagine a hurricane that moves millimeter by millimeter? Is that the movement of the Lord in all the churches? We make many problems for him and we hinder him. And then we say, we are his church. Sad. That's sad. We have to repent before the Lord. And the work of the Lord must go on. When we really want the Lord to come back soon, then we have to deal with this wonderful God and say, oh, Father God, let us go on with you. It has to whirl here. We're so used to be so comfortable in the church life. I'm sorry to say that. That is the truth. Everywhere I go, I see the saints, the brothers and sisters. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If meetings, good. Oh, how are you doing? Oh, great. Very good. I don't quite believe that. I don't quite believe that. If you're doing so well, how come nothing is happening? Are you doing so well that nothing is happening? It happens that we're doing so well, that's why nothing is happening. In those days when we're in Germany, we work day and night, believe me. Right? We work day and night. We worked until 3 in the morning. Have you worked for the Lord until 3 in the morning? And then at 6 in the morning, we continued. We had our morning watches. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm still healthy and alive. Our hearts were burning for the Lord. We prayed. We wanted to see the work of the Lord, and we want to see that the testimony of the Lord would run in Europe. And the Bible says that the word of the Lord ran. What do you think, Susanna? How fast? Like lightning. That's what is written in Ezekiel. Do you think God moves so slowly like us here in the church? So, brother, let's go on. The Lord goes on like that? If the Lord would go on in this way, then he would still need 1,000 years before he would come back. Or? The Lord does not go on in such a way. I don't mean that we have to be stirred up right now. I don't want to stir you up in this way. But I want you to realize that. You have to see, Lord, we're too slow. We're not desperate enough. It does not burn in us. We all can sleep well, even though it goes on so slowly. You know, if it goes on so slowly, then it's a good atmosphere for you to go to sleep. Really so. So the Lord has to wake us up in this conference. We have to see a hurricane. Lord, your movement. The glory of the Lord is not just for us to sit and to behold, like a film or something, but it's moving. It's mighty. The glory of the Lord wants to do something. He wants to fulfill his plan. God has much to do in this universe. He wants to bring his kingdom down onto the earth. It is such a glorious movement, such a wonderful plan of the Lord, and we take our time. That's why it's very necessary to see the whirlwind and the great cloud, the cloud of His glory. Praise the Lord. It's heavenly, the cloud. Nice. Do you like the cloud? Many do not like the cloud. What happens with the weather when there's lots of clouds? Nice weather? We always want to have nice weather and no clouds. What would you rather have, Susanne? A nice weather? A blue heaven without clouds? Less clouds, the better. Angelica, right? That's why you have to come to California. You have a nice weather without clouds. Do you think that that is good? Then the Lord is somewhat strange to you because the Lord always comes with a cloud. And then if there's so many clouds, then soon there'll be rain and thunder and lightning, right?
Oh
Lord, our Lord wants to do something on this earth. He really wants to do something. And it is written here, there's not a cloud, but with the cloud came fire.
Oh, Herr Jesus, magst du Feuer?
Do you like the fire?
Gibt's Feuer in der Gemeinde?
Is there fire in the church?
Gibt's Feuer in der Gemeinde?
Is there fire in the church?
In Pforzheim.
In Pforzheim.
So is it.
That's how it is. Have you seen such a vision of God? We have to see it such a way in our time so that the church could go on. We can no longer rest and just let the days go by each day. Something has to happen in the church. When we say that the church is a house of the living God and that God is here, then you also need to know what kind of a God would dwell here. And the church is not only His dwelling place, but the church here is also His office. He works here. His throne is here. He has something to do here. Oh, Lord Jesus. The building of the church is not only for us. This work is a great work. And I hope that through this vision, the Lord will wake up all the saints, whether it be from Asia, from China, no matter where. Our God has to go on in a mighty way, even in Africa. Praise the Lord. On the whole earth, in Lausanne.
Roland.
Amen. Something has to happen there. Something has to happen. Oh, Lord Jesus. We have to know this God. Fire goes along with it. Fire is not only for the energy, for the power. Fire is also there for the judgment. Fire also shows the glory and the holiness, God's holiness and God's righteousness. Everything that is not according to His holiness would be burned away by this fire. Let's read together Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Praise the Lord. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings, etc. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Do we hear this in the church? Or do we just read, freedom or liberty, 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 and each one can do as he pleases? What would you rather hear? Freedom or holy? Our young people, what would you rather have? Holy, holy, holy?
Or
freedom, freedom, freedom? What is better? Holy, that's because you've gotten older. Go ask the younger ones.
Amen.
Amen. Which word do you prefer? Which word? If you do not learn God's holiness today, the older you get, the more difficult it would be, because your flesh loves the freedom, but the spirit loves the holiness. Before the throne of God, you see the seraphim. These seraphim, they cry out day or night, holy, holy, holy. Do not think that that's not important. No, whoever sees the vision, whoever sees the throne of God, if the heavens are opened and you saw this vision, then you would also touch God's holiness. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, praise the Lord. They were shaken, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We think that to see the Lord, oh, it's wonderful and glorious. Tony would say, oh, hallelujah, I saw the Lord. But you know, if we truly have seen the Lord, you would be exposed, and you will see that you are unclean. Woe unto me. We would be exposed. On one hand, it's nice to see him, and it's a privilege. But on the other hand, what was the reaction? It's not only his reaction that comes out of him, but it's a spontaneous. You don't even have a moment to think, oh, he is so holy. Oh, and I am so unholy. It doesn't function, doesn't work in this way. But when you truly have seen the glory of the Lord, you say, oh, woe. Woe is me. I am undone. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal in his hand. Praise the Lord. A live coal. And in the vision that Ezekiel saw of the glory of the Lord, he saw the glowing coal in the midst of the cherubim. There was a fire, gleaming fire. The glory of the Lord without fire is not it. The fire is not there to burn us, but the fire goes to show that our God is holy. And everything that is unholy, do not think that it can stand before Him. Everything that is unholy would be burned away. That's why He said, "Woe is me, I'm undone." So it's not so simple to behold the glory of the Lord. You have to remember that at the end of chapter 1, we read here, what did he say? Verse 28, this is on page 10 of the outline. Like the appearance of a bow in a cloud on a day of rain. Oh, I'm sorry. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard a voice of one speaking. The entire apparition was the glory of the Lord. So that means that the glory of the Lord is not just there for us to enjoy, but the glory of the Lord is dynamic, mighty, and powerful. And something happens. There's lightning and thunder and a loud sound. You see fire and it's gleaming. It's light. All this goes to show that our God in His glory is not static. In His glory, He wants to accomplish His work in this universe and with us, especially with us here in the church. And I hope that all the churches from now on would go on in the glory of the Lord. Oh, Lord. And further, perhaps for just another minute. And then there's the gleaming. There is the bright shining. There's light.
Wenn wir meinen, dass die Gemeinde herrlich ist, dann muss die Gemeinde scheinen.
When we think that the church is glorious, then we have to see there's a brightness about it. You can judge for yourselves in the church where you are whether there's the brightness. When you come together in the meeting, is it full of joy, peace, and rest? Hallelujah. Full of life? And there's a brightness that comes forth. Isn't that wonderful? Then we don't need to share much, you know? Then we all sit there and enjoy the brightness. Isn't that wonderful? Some people may say, "Oh, we have had a glorious meeting." They have to ask, "How glorious? Was there the bright shining? Did it shine? Did people see light beaming forth?" Do you mean that the brother who shared was gleaming and was so bright? And you saw electrum. Have you ever seen electrum? The people would say, "What is electrum?" And out of this brightness came the electrum came forth. One cannot explain this. So simply, you know, the entire universe was created by God. And God could take here and from here and from there. He could bring even a whirlwind. He can take the fire and even an electrum. Pforzheim, the city of Pforzheim, is the city of gold. It's a last Sunday, Toby and I were in Pforzheim, and we went by a factory. We went by a company, and this company separates silver from gold, from electrum, because it's a gold city. And Toby's grandfather used to work there 30 years. I said, what did your grandfather do there? Oh, he separated gold from silver. It's so sovereign of the Lord that we drove by there, right by this company that worked with electrum. It still exists today. Then I just laughed. I said, yes, thank you, Lord. You even showed me this, and I saw that. Unfortunately, we didn't go inside to see how that process goes. But this is how the wonderful God sees, like it's an alloy in nature, and it's gold and silver. And in a lexicon it says it's 75% gold and silver is 25%. Because if there were too much silver, then it would not be shining as much. And sometimes in this electrum there's also some copper. How does your God look like? For Paul, oh, we don't have much time left. This evening we'll talk about the electrum, not this morning, because the time is over. But we all need such a vision regarding the glory of the Lord. Read this word once again, just these few verses, and tell the Lord, Lord, I want to see you here in the church. We want to behold you in such a way, and also to get to know such a mighty and dynamic God, so that the Lord can go on. Amen. Until this evening. Amen.